Oh, y'all, bro. I would have never, bro. I probably would have stopped playing basketball, bro. We winning. I'm about to sell the Natty game. Like, I had this unbelievable season. Then I come here doing good. Boom. Then throw two turnovers. They tie the game. And boom, we got the ball. Boom. My boy Trey made the layup. I said, bro, I just started tearing. I said, bro, you just saved my whole career. You, we won the Natty, but bro, you saved my career.
Welcome back to another episode, Not Even D2. I'm your host, KJ Allison, here with my boy and co-host, Neruda Perdomo. Before we get into the episode, make sure to go like and follow all our content at Not Even D2. Go subscribe to the YouTube channel. All the support is appreciated. We got some big things coming up, so make sure you're staying tuned with all that. But NBA Finals Series 1-1 right now. So for people that don't know, Rudo was at my grad party this past weekend, and every time I heard him talking about the NBA, I would just like leave the conversation, act like I wasn't hearing nothing. So just because I wanted everything that we talk about to be supernatural, I wanted to hear what you guys say about this Pacers Thunder series. So talk to me, bro.
Yeah, really, really glad I went to your grad party. It was a lot of fun. Met a lot of your peoples out there in Lansingburg and Troy. I had a great time. So definitely glad I made the trip out there. But yeah, for NBA Finals, I'm really, you know, I think I said Thunder and five. I probably changed that pick to like Thunder and six. But, you know, game one and game two are completely different Thunder teams. I felt, especially down the stretch, like, you know, it's weird with the Pacers because now at this point, like, I really don't feel like any lead is safe with them at this point. So, like, even if it was in the fourth, and they're up by a lot, I'm like, I can't turn this off. Like, Pacers might make a run towards the end. But, you know, they closed it out. And, you know, Shea was attacking Tyrese in every ball screen and, you know, making him work, which they should be. Caruso balled out, which I think everyone is like, you know, can you expect that again from him? And I think you can. He's a role player. He's 31 years old. He's been in these moments before. And, you know, like we talked about before in other episodes, you know, Wiggins showed up, but that's just who the Thunder are. Like, yeah, they have their starting lineup and their guys and Caruso. But, you know, outside of that, like, they have, you know, different numbers that they call on a night-to-night basis. And that's what makes them dangerous. It's not just, you know, one guy. But definitely been a good series. And, you know, I'm really interested to see how it plays out.
Yeah, bro. Staying ready is, like, not something that everybody in the league is ready for. And the Thunder team kind of specializes in that. I think I mentioned in a previous episode how they all want to see each other win. Like, they understand that someday it might not be Shea's night, they got to step up, or vice versa. Shea knows he's got to take a big part of the load some nights. But A. Wiggs, Cason Wallace for a majority of the season, he's starting right now. But all those guys coming off the bench, Isaiah Joe, some nights they might not even play, depending on the matchup, who they're playing.
And then Joe.
Yeah, bro, he's tough. Like, yeah, on other teams, these players are playing way bigger minutes or starting roles. Isaiah Joe is really like that, and you're seeing Aaron Wiggins. He was going crazy, and like, you watch his film, he got drafted 55th. A lot of people missed on him, reporters, all that. It's something to talk about how we like how guys' games translate into the NBA. It doesn't matter, kind of, you know. Their production might be the highest in college, but guys like that get into the NBA, they're in the system. It's just going to work out. If they dribble, pass, shoot, that's perfect for the Thunder organization. But to talk more about the finals, bro, I got to give a lot of respect to – I'm acting like it's over, but I got to give a lot of respect to the Pacers. They're a complete team. Same thing with them. Nesmith, like, is not getting talked about that much, but at all of their, like, clutch wins, he's been going crazy, like, I don't mean to bring this up, but the Knicks series, when they came back in game one, he just went crazy against the Thunder. He's just hitting big three after big three. But I'm still just not a big guy on Tyrese. I don't know how you've, like, changed the narrative on him, or if you're stagnant on, like, he's not a superstar. But I just, when I'm watching it and I'm seeing him come off ball screen and stuff, like, he's a good passer, but he just doesn't have that type of game to be able to consistently create his own shot. And I know he hit the big shot, and that's, as a Thunder fan, that shot hurt. But I'm just saying, if Tyrese is the guy, I still don't see how the Thunder lose many games to this Pacers team. And It's an argument. I was gonna say the Thunder are just so much better than the Pacers, but I could say the same thing about the Knicks. Like I could say the same thing about the Cavs, that they were just so much better. It's just fluky moments, but it's an argument. Like, is it fluky or is this team really just that and they pick it up at the right time? I don't know what you think about that.
It's weird, bro, because I had this feeling with like the Knicks that like how could any team like take it serious when like we've been down like 20 multiple times and like, yeah, we came back, but it's like, why are we like starting the game that way? Why are we putting ourselves in that position? And I kind of feel that way with the Thunder, like in game one and game two, like they didn't start out well and they have to climb out of the deficit early, you know, on double digits. So it's,
you mean the Pacers or the Thunder?
I meant to say the Thunder started off with a big lead against the Pacers early in game one and game two. But the only difference was is that in game two, the Thunder closed it out instead of game one. They kind of let them hang around towards the end. But yeah, so that being said, like it makes me hard to kind of – it makes me pause. It's difficult to really determine how good this Pacers team is just because, like I say, like they have to come back from down 20. It's like, why are y'all putting yourselves in this position? Like compete from the get-go, and that has a lot to do with Tyrese Haliburton and how aggressive he is. You know, it can't just be, you know, yeah, he's setting everyone up, but like you're the starting point guard. Like you gotta make your presence felt early. Like, and the way you open it up for everyone is by like creating for yourself too. So
no, this is a really good series. One thing that I also don't see is the Pacers were dominant this year. When they were good, they were dominant on fast break teams not being ready. But I think the Thunder are doing I will say that's one thing that's remained consistent through two games is the Thunder are playing really good in transition defense. A shot goes up, people are back no matter what. So I don't see how the Pacers like style kind of adapts in this series. Like what's their adjustment to, you know, not go down in these big leads? It's 1-1, so it's hard to say, but I just think the Thunder are so much better of a team. And hopefully tomorrow, we're recording on Tuesday, hopefully on Wednesday that doesn't happen where the Pacers win in a fluke again. But I just think the Thunder are so much better than this team. I'm still going to say Thunder in five. Has your opinion changed? I got a question for you after.
Jalen Williams hasn't even shown up yet too. And he was hooping at the end of the Wolves series. Like he won them that game in the closeout game. So,
bro, another thing I was saying, like, is Jalen Williams going to be an all-star level player when it comes to the playoffs? Some series or some games, he looks, wow, he's going to be the next best shooting guard in the league. And then other games, like the first two games in this series, he's just an average starter. So they definitely need Dub. But the ratings, I wanted to talk about this with you. I don't know if you have strong feelings or if you've thought about this, but the ratings, people saying it's like nobody cares essentially about this finals. And I've been seeing reports. I don't know how valid they are, because ESPN or nobody has reported on it, but saying that this has been the lowest rated finals in like 20 plus years. So I was wondering what you think about, you know, small market teams. Did the NBA do a good enough job trying to push this market, stuff like that, if you have any thoughts about it?
I would say, number one, like Adam Silver, there's a couple of things, because I think like it goes both ways. Like Adam Silver pointed out how if there's a Super Bowl between the and I'm not sure, even sure these teams can play each other in the Super Bowl, but for the sake of the discussion, he was like, why are we praising when the NFL has the Steelers and the Packers, you know, in the Super Bowl, you know, but we're hating on like Indiana versus Oklahoma City Thunder? Like that doesn't really make any sense to me.
Great.
But on the flip side, I do think that they didn't do like a good enough job of promoting the Thunder, because I think in many ways, like, you know, like I'm, for example, like the only way I'm hearing about the Thunder is through you, is because you're a Thunder fan, or your brother, you know, posting, you know, his troll posts on Instagram. So that's and my son Ben Whitman too, he's a big Thunder fan. So that was really the only way I would hear about them. They don't get a lot of like Bleacher Report love or like Sports Center love, like where, like, you know, JB and Brunson, when, you know, they came back from down 20. Now, granted, that was crazy, but you saw that all over your timeline, the Knicks beating the Celtics. You know what I mean? It's just like kind of different. Like Shea doesn't really get that coverage until he really won the MVP, and now he's getting like the ESPN countdown interview. So,
yeah. That's actually interesting. The NBA's marketability on the Thunder. This, because last year, I don't think people even recognize this, or it might have forgot, but last year the Thunder were the number one seed in the West, had a really good record. They fell short to Luka and Kyrie, a really good Dallas Mavericks team. The Thunder didn't have a center. But this year when the schedule came out, I remember being super shocked. I was looking at the Christmas schedule and I'm like, yo, this is your best young products in the league. You have they were the one seed last year and they just made crazy trades to get Caruso and Hartenstein. How is this not a team you're putting on Christmas? And it's stuff like that. But on the flip side, I heard Cowherd, and I have mixed feelings about some of the stuff that Cowherd says, but he was saying basically that it's hard to promote the Thunder because, and I definitely don't agree with this, but he was saying Shea's game isn't like too flashy. It's not cool to watch. You know, the Thunder, they don't have, he was bringing up like celebrities. You look at their games and it's just like, no, people were excited to see the Knicks fans in the crowd every game, or Caitlin Clark and Reggie Miller at the Pacers games. People like were talking about that stuff. I know you're giving a little side eye, but people, like a lot of people in the media were talking about Timothy, what's his last name?
Chalamet.
Yeah, so people were talking about that, but the Thunder, they're not getting that. So it was, I definitely can see both points on why you should market the Thunder and why the Thunder aren't getting marketed. But I think it's proven right now that that's kind of important to focus on those young people, because Tyrese, nobody expected them to get here. But now the Pacers are another team that didn't get that much attention, even though if you even it out and not just keep it on, you know, Curry, Harden, Braun, whoever, you got to start passing the torch to them in the media coverage, too, if you want to see your product expand. So it's definitely interesting.
I mean, I was just last point, like I was a huge Thunder fan when I was 10 years old, you know, Thunder going to the finals. Like I had a KD OKC jersey. So the opportunity to market the Thunder as the NBA's franchise, or, you know, the opportunity to market them to casual fans is 100% there. So I just don't think the NBA is capitalizing on it.
Yeah, but I bet they'll capitalize if Thunder win a chip this year. Hopefully. For sure. Thunder in five. But that's 12 minutes we didn't even talk about. Today's episode, we got a banger with our boy John Hines. He just finished his career at Christopher Newport. Historic, prestigious institution in Division III, who, you know, year in and year out, they're making deep runs into the tournament. John Hines, arguably the GOAT at Christopher Newport. So it was cool to hear his perspective on the, you know, the program as a whole, but also his career and, you know, what he values about his career. He's been through a lot throughout his college journey, which all that we talked about. It was a really good episode, bro. So just talk to me about talking to John and this episode.
Definitely, you know, a great episode, like you just mentioned. You know, Jay John, and I'm pretty sure he likes to be called Jay John, whatever.
My fault, Jay Hines.
I mean, his Instagram is John too, I think, so it's, I don't know. But Jay, it was definitely a great episode with bro. Like, he's definitely a great dude, and it was cool having him on the pod. Like, I had texted Adam, let me pull up the text real quick, but I had texted Adam basically saying like, yo, we got, you know, John on the pod, like, whatever.
You talking about Brazil?
Yeah.
I was thinking about this when I was editing the episode. Imagine Jay and AB on the same team, because he said he committed to Hampton Sydney. That would have had Division III lit. They would be crazy duo together. But keep going with what you were saying.
Nah, for sure. I'm trying to find the text message. I gotta. Basically, he was just telling me a story that they had woke up for the D3 All-Star game. I think they had to take a flight, and Adam had like all his bags packed and stuff like that, and they had to leave at 4 a.m. And 5 minutes before Adam's alarm goes off, John wakes him up and is like, "Yo, we gotta wake up. We gotta go to the airport." And like, he's holding him accountable, basically, you know, to make sure he's on time, make sure he's getting, and Adam was going to be ready regardless, but Adam was just like, that shows who he is. Like, you know, he's committed to the craft, and it shows up in, you know, his stats. I mean, he averaged 17 a game for his career, but he has over 2,000 points, which is crazy for a college career, right? We mentioned how he's like truly an all-around player because he has about 700 career rebounds, almost 300 career assists, right? So definitely an all-around player, and he's elite, bro. And he talked about, you know, staying at CNU, winning a national championship there, why he ended up staying there, even if he could have let, you know, gone to a higher division. But definitely a great episode, bro. He was really cool, and I'm really excited to see where his journey goes next.
Yeah, likewise, bro, because it's pretty interesting and crazy. I remember when we first started talking D3 and nobody was going pro, and now the graduating class that just passed, like, a lot of the guys we're talking to, they're saying, yeah, I just signed an agent, I'm trying to go pro, this and that. And Jay is one of those guys that's going to represent the division at a high level, bro. He could, like you said, all around, but like he really can like score at an elite level. And not many Division III players can score at all three the way that he can shooting the ball. Like his jump shot looks good, but he's also really physical, gets downhill and can guard. Another player that like is a two-way guy. So I could see him having a good pro career. But also CNU, just their dominance in Division III is crazy. I've never made it to, I know you made it to a tournament a few times, so let me just have this moment, but I've never been to a tournament, but to hear his experience saying year to year, they made it to the second round of the tourney this year, and he said this was the farthest they've been in his time from like winning it all, or the earliest they've been kicked out, essentially. So it's just wild that those are the type of experiences they're getting at Christopher Newport, and he's saying, oh, we could have done more, da-da-da. But it's just a really good, great career from Jay Hines, and like I said, he's got a lot more in store.
I mean, it kind of puts it in perspective for you, bro. Like, you know, everyone's journey is different. Like, I know you talked about, like, you know, I had made the tournament too at my career, but I never made it past the second round. You know what I mean? We never did that. But, you know, Jay talked about farthest you've been was, you know, the Sweet 16, right? From the Natty, or maybe the second round of the tournament, which is crazy, bro. He's reached those type of levels. So, you know, there's definitely levels to it when it comes to this basketball stuff, and it makes you, you know, notice that. But yeah, definitely he's had a great career, and, you know, the impact that CNU has had on, you know, the overall basketball, you know, Division III landscape is immense for sure.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of good stories in this EP too. We talked about national championship, that game, some of his favorite moments, you know, their team bond, the chemistry, the foundation that CNU has been built on, all that covering the episode, and definitely looking forward to see what Jay Hines got in the future. So let's hear from bro. We are here with our boy Jay Hines. How you doing today, fam?
Yes, sir. Feeling good, man. Feeling good. Blessed. Know what I'm saying? How y'all boys doing?
Chilling, bro. Appreciate you getting on. Just graduated on Saturday. Seen you had a grad party and stuff like that. How was that, bro?
Man, it was a lot of love around, man. Everybody showed out, all the friends, all the family. It was honestly a great time. I haven't been around all my family like that in a long time. So it was truly, truly blessed to see everybody there.
You had like a venue, or it was at your crib?
Yeah, we had a little venue. We rented out this place. Ended up getting capacity, so it was definitely a good time.
No, that's tough. But you can always like bring in, I'm not sure how your family dynamic is, but like both sides of your family, like dad and mom, or like extended family coming in.
Yeah, pretty much the immediate family. My family not too big, being that a lot of my family not even from the country, so. It's really mostly my dad's side out here, and then a few from my mom's side. So it was a mesh of both. So it was good to see everybody together.
Word.
Can you talk a little about your background, bro? Because you mentioned that you could potentially get citizenship to Korea. So can you talk about that?
Yeah. So basically, my grandma on my mom's side, she from Korea. My mom's dad, he from Sweden.
Oh shit.
So that's my mom's side, the foreign side, and we barely have any family here. So my dad's dad, he's from where I'm from, Norfolk, North Virginia. So pretty much I have a bigger side of family on that side. But just really immediate, a lot of things I don't know, because My grandma and them did come from around the Texas area. So I always grew up with a small family. It seems big, but when I hear about all these other people's family who got all these hundreds, like, cookouts and stuff, they be having like hundreds of people there. Like, I never had that. But yeah, now coming up, I'm from North Virginia. I went to Norby High School. Not the best type of area, you know. My mom and dad split when I was 7. So my mom been a single mom since 7 to now.
Shout out to her.
And for real, shout out. She the rock. So I grew up with, I had five brothers, one sister. Really grew up with all of them, but once my people split, it was mostly my older brother, my little brother. And so my mom has been single with us since now. You know, so that's pretty much my background.
Or no, that's tough, bro. And you, like, I'm kind of from a similar area, but yeah, an area where it's not like the best, like crime and stuff like that. So it definitely helps you in the future, like realizing you're not trying to be around that when you're older.
It definitely takes a lot of people being around, like the good people being around you to keep you from that.
Nah,
the basketball did for me too, kept me away from all that.
Or I want to talk about basketball. I mean, y'all had a pretty good year this year. You definitely had a good year. You averaged 28-3, first team All-American. So for your season, you guys were 23-6. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about the Roanoke game eventually, but just like broadly, what were your takeaways from this year? Talk about this year for you and CNU.
Gotcha. Man, this year meant a lot. Just being from how we lost that previous year and what happened that previous year, we had lost like four or five players during the season, like just to mental things and just.
Oh, yeah. You guys did have a lot. I forgot about that.
Right. Yeah, we started out with like 20 people and in the season with like freaking like 12 active players. Like, it was crazy. So we was basically, after that year, we basically had to rebuild like, you know how teams got core values, mm-hmm. and all that. We had to rebuild that. And this was the rebuilding year. And I'm leading with me being, I've been there 5 years. I was there when it was the program it was and how the team carried themselves. And we got away from that. After that, my junior, senior, we got away after that from that. And then now being there this year, me being a leader and I've been there 5 years, it was my turn to build that back up. And that's what made it so special. Cause it was just what our coach wanted and what the community was used to. So them not have like us being around in the community and stuff like that was more this year, just everything. And that's why the season was so special. And then me personally, I lost my dad this past summer and he wore number 22. So I knew, and he was always at every game. So I knew this year I was definitely gonna have to end it big for him. And yeah, this season was a good time. And I feel like our main value is brotherhood and Christopher Newport, that's basketball, that's like the everything. Brotherhood, not that we just on our shirts, on our billboards, in our locker room, just everything. And I would say this is probably one of the closest teams I ever been on in my life. Like, even me being a fifth year, we had pretty much our whole team was sophomores and freshmen. We had one senior, two fifth years, and then that was it. And like one junior, which is my little brother, and the rest was sophomore and freshman. So I'm 23 over here with like 19, 18 year olds. I'm like, they playing songs in the locker room. I don't even know. Like, I'm like, what is it? Like, what y'all listening to? But just taking them under the wing, and they always show respect. I mean, it was definitely the closest team I've ever been on. That's what got us over a lot of these games and humps that we endured this season. Yeah. So, I mean, to make it to the second round, sadly, this is the furthest I've been from the Natty in my whole freaking career there.
Yo, but that's wild.
But yeah, it was honestly a great season. I wouldn't have went out any other way. And even after the loss, I wasn't mad because I knew we gave it our all. And some teams, I'm saying, some days you win, some days you lose. It comes with the territory. And I'm saying, you take a loss, how you take your win. So,
nah, bro, you just like, how you're speaking right now, you could tell you're just a super level-headed guy. Like, I would never known. I knew about the CNU, like, you guys losing a lot of guys, but I would have never known that you lost your dad this past year. Rest in peace to him, bro. But the fact that, like, you were able to come into the season and still be a All-American type of player, dominating, leading a bunch of young guys, taking them under your wing, dealing with so much turmoil. That's special for sure.
I appreciate that, man.
But the Roanoke game, I don't know if you still got like hard feelings about it, but
we can talk about it. We good.
I was trying to find the last sequence because Josh from Roanoke, he hit like the game winner. But was it you that got the last opportunity?
Yeah, man. So basically, you know what I'm saying? We were down, let's say, by like five, no, like four. We're down by four, like 50 seconds or 40 seconds left. Got the steal. We went down, flushed it. They came down. He hit that midi. Mm-hmm. No, they came down. Didn't I want to say they got like two free throws or didn't score one of them. So we got the ball. Well, I got the ball. Getting freaking almost like triple team, bro. Then had spin move and one. So boom, we tied. I smoked the free throw in and out. Boom, they get the ball. He comes down, midi. It's crazy because I was about to go run over there and double with my brother. Uh-huh. I knew he was taking that shot. Like, as a fifth year, you're taking that shot. You're not passing that up.
Mm-hmm.
So, boom. And he hit it. He was just walking into it, hit it. Boom.
That was a tough play. That was to go down two.
Yeah, that put us down two. And then that's when I got the ball. Like, 4 seconds, I'm just running out of court. Boom. Smarter. Like, I should have went and dunked it, but I don't know what I was thinking. I was trying to get a foul call or whatever. Just kind of jumped into him, left it a little short. And that was that, man.
You was hurt after that? Like, that was a gut
punch?
Yeah,
yeah. I feel like I let my team down for real. It was more, I was just more about my team because, like, a lot of them ain't get to, like, especially the freshmen. They haven't got to, I'm saying, Sweet 16. They ain't got to lead. And they ain't got to see the stuff that I've seen. So it was more so I feel like I let my team down. And that was just the main part. And, like, as a fifth year and, like, with some of the comments I got, like, you want to be the one to, like, show them that and, like you want to hit that shot. Everybody dreams of that. Like, you dream of that. So it's just like, dang. But, man, after went in, one thing I did learn, man, you're going to control what you can control. I can't control that every shot going to go in. So, I mean, all I control is what I do next. And the speech that I gave in the locker room after was even better than the season that we had. So, I mean, that's what I wanted from that. And that's why I'm not too salty about me. At the end of the day, I am a little bit, just a little bit. But nah, it's all good.
Bro, KJ got this saying that, like, basically it's like, show me how you battle back from adversity, I'll tell you who you are, right? That's like kind of the saying pretty much. And that's what I'm hearing from you, bro, because you're dealing with a lot of different adversity, whether, you know, teammates, you know, not finishing the year, you know, your dad, you know, passing away, obviously rest in peace. But you handled it like a champ, bro. You know what I'm saying? Handled
it. Yeah, true. Bro, as much adversity I've been through, bro, it's like, nah, I just take, I'm saying, everything day by day and I'm really blessed just because of what I have been through. And that's what makes a lot of people, man, what they've been through and people got around me. I have a good like group around me, friends, like parents, coaches, community. That's why I love seeing you. They always show support. Always had people around me that like pushed me, and that's really what kept me where I am today.
Bro, I mean, so we follow each other on Instagram, and when you post a video of you walking across the stage, like I heard people.
Man, I know, bro. It's so much love for real. Most of them was alum. They always come back. That's the one thing about, like I said, brotherhood. I want to say my coach had, so one of my I never played with him, but he was like the All-American. I got there like a year or two after him. And, you know, even from the first day I got there, after, like, we had, like, a shortened season, little six, like, games that didn't count for nothing. We had, like, a little talk. He was, like, who you want to be? Like, just him coming down, like, showing love. Like, he was an All-American. He was in talks again, his jersey retired, stuff like that. And just him, like, seeing how I played and believing in me from the beginning. I didn't even think I would do the things that I did at the school. And for him, for, like, hearing all that stuff from him and him guiding me. It was crazy. And he had a wedding, I want to say like a year or two ago. And they had like, I want to say like 20, 30 players there. And like my coach and all took a picture. And I was like, that's just the brotherhood I was talking about. And like you said, the graduation, those are alumni, my family, just like showing that brotherhood off.
That's fire, bro. That's fire for sure. And, you know, I had heard about, you know, your jersey getting retired, and also your dad, like your dad wearing two as well, just because there was, I think they had done like some in the news about it.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted you to talk about this day, bro, because, you know, I'm sure that must have been emotional for you. Just number one, jersey being retired in college is like a huge honor. It doesn't really happen often, bro. So like, how emotional was senior day for you when you found out that that was when that was announced? And just talk about like your family's reaction too, like, because, you know, your dad wearing number 22 as well, and that being retired. So just talk about all that, bro.
Man, shoot. All right, so I found out that week that it was getting retired because, you know, my coach isn't big on, like, you know what I'm saying, like singling out anybody or like accomplishments of one person. He's a big team guy. So he kind of just broke it down in the locker room. We had like our film meeting. He was bringing that up, like, all right, we doing this. John, you're getting your retired this. I want to tell you now. So I'm saying your emotions not running high during the game, and like the players, like, emotions is all not going out of, I'm saying, out of whack. So he wanted to let us know just because end of the day, it's about winning games. And we had a game. It wasn't just a senior day thing. You know, we had a game. So I'm saying we had us locked in on that. So, I mean, the whole week, I'm definitely hurt. I definitely shed a tear because I'm like, dang, like, you dream of that. Like, your jersey retired, like, you're forever in stone in history at that school. And I got something I could, my future kids can go, I could take them back to here, like, yo, boom, 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 see it in the rafters. Like, when I first got it, they have it up in the rafters. So I'm just looking at the different names in there and like what they've done in the school. And just like, you hear stories about all these great players that come through. And I'm like, dang, like, one day that definitely could be me. And then now, like, it is. So it's like, wow, like, it was very emotional. And then just sharing that number with my dad was like really special because he wore that number in high school. We both graduated from the same high school. He didn't get to play college, but I did. So just having that number up there, man, it's really special for my family as well as me.
Yo, you had 22 and 18 that day, so that's
a hey, that's really God, bro, for real. 22 points and number 22 is retired, so it's really crazy.
Nah, for sure, bro, for sure. That's a great story too. I want you to talk about, I want to move to like a little bit of basketball talk with you. So I seen you, if I'm not mistaken, you finished top 10 in scoring, rebounding, and assists. So like,
yeah.
That kind of shows like an all around game to me. So like, what part of your game do you feel like you're most proud of?
Oh, I want to say probably, I'll say my ability to create. Like, that's one thing in college that a lot of people, like, it's not just about scoring. Like, yeah, the points are, I'm saying, scoring is cool, but creating double teams and creating runouts to other teammates just to create more. So if I get past my person, I see somebody help, boom, pass to them. Now they got to run to him. And that's all you want to do is create mismatches around the court and create certain situations where the defender is at a disadvantage. So I would say my ability to create, I work on my game. I'm very confident. So if the lane is there, I'm taking it. And if not, I'm going to try to force it. But I'm not forcing the shot. I'm forcing where I want to go. And then once I see somebody double, it's a kick. And then now they got to run out. It's just my biggest career, I would say, and my IQ. I'd say I'm most proud of.
Word. One thing, like, looking at your film, and this doesn't even get talked about that much, but I feel like you're just really good at getting paint touches. And that's like an underrated part in basketball right now is, like you're saying, creating those advantages for the offense, but putting the defense like on their heels. Cause when you get paint touches, everybody's collapsing or their eyes are at least looking at you, but you're good at like finding the big when you get that paint touch. So I could definitely see what you're talking about. But you mentioned Coach Kerkorian, and for people who don't know, Coach Kerkorian, arguably the best coach in Division III right now. Like, he's really done a lot last like decade or so, probably more than that. But you guys won a Natty together in 2023. Obviously, a lot of 5 years down the road, like a tight bond probably built. So just talk about like y'all relationship, being coached by him, and what makes him so good.
I'm gonna give you a little story first. So, boom, first I get there. I say none of us have any expectations or anything. So I'm ready to come in. Work, I'm saying, to get a position to get on that court. So we go through that little COVID. We couldn't do nothing. Like, we couldn't have no contact practices. Also, then while the thing was going on, we eventually got to do like, I think like three people practice. Had to wear masks, couldn't touch, but like we was doing skill works and all that. And so boy, after that, we finally get a chance for contact practices. We started wearing masks. It's going good. Making a name for myself in practice, just playing hard, playing defense, rebounding, scoring when I can. So we get foreign trips. I don't know if every school does this, but like I know a few do in Division III. We get like a foreign trip. So just because of COVID and stuff, we only could go to Canada. Just because it was like something quick and like a little 4-day trip. So we went. Me thinking I'm been doing good in practice, getting a little big headed. Think I'm like, oh yeah, I'm be starting this. I'm playing this amount of minutes, doing this. We get there, man. I probably got subbed in like two, three minutes left in the first half, and I make a mistake or something. He asked me like, I'm saying, dude, he want me to make all these different plays. I'm like, you put me in that 2 minutes. I'm mad. Man, I get off the court, took off my jersey, and we was going back and forth just on the court, bro. Crazy story. And then, boom, like I got calmed down. He calmed down and definitely benched the rest of the game. And I got benched the next game. we had a talk, and it was just how I felt at the moment, because I felt like you were telling me one thing, then we get a couple of transfers. So I feel like I was like, dang, like I'm saying, where the loyalty at? Because I was here, but you letting transfers play and all this stuff before me. And they ain't did nothing. I mean, I ain't did nothing either, but in my head, being young, like I'm 18, thinking this and that. And on that, after that, man, it was just all like our relationship just took off, man. Cause he understood, man. That's one thing about me. I would say I'm very competitive. Like me and him, I'm probably the most competitive people like you ever meet. And that's like really what be getting us through some of these wins, is just the will to win. So we both understood what we're here for, and like we had that talk, and then from then on we just hit it off. He's been like honestly like another like type dad for me. Being on campus, cause the stuff I've been through, it's been something every single year, like something really crazy. Like for instance, my freshman, I lost my brother. He was there for me. He said, you need to take time. I'm saying off practice. Just let me know. He emailed my teachers, just doing background stuff that like not every coach gonna do for you, man. And that's another reason why Division III is how it is, because you get them tight relationship with coaches, staff, like everything. And the next year he was always there for me. He's a great coach, man. He's so smart. Like, and I would say his strength is defense. Like I couldn't play defense like the level I thought I could until I got there. I never knew. Like I was like, all right, you gotta slide your feet. Nah, like he taught me like you get beat, you sprint to the spot, cut them off. Like it's just little stuff like that. Like I was already taught to slide my feet in high school, stuff like that. But then you get to college, got these quicker dudes. It's like you gotta beat them to the spot, cut them off. Did not take charges before I got there. So, and just little stuff like that, man. But not just the bond we had really would build our trust. And then from then on, like he gave me the key. Like, you know what I'm saying, I trust you. Whatever you think, it's the same way. I mean, we still always butt heads just because we're competitive, but it was never taken out of basketball. And so, man, he's a great dude. I would take the shirt off my back for him, man, for real.
No, that's love. One thing that people always talk about with Coach Kilcoyran is how he's, like, super honest. Like, he'll keep it a buck with you. So you could see, like, why maybe y'all button heads, but, like, he developed you into the player and person that you are today. So that's love for him. Shout out to Coach Kilcoyran for sure.
Word. I was gonna bring up two different things, bro. You talk about you being competitive and – I don't know if you said in this interview, like year prior was a down year, but I was looking at like the schedule, like you guys still won like 24 games. So I'm like, that's an accomplishment, bro. Like, a lot of players get. Like, I'm like, oh shit. Like,
that just shows you how competitive I am, man. A 24 season win, man, and I'm like, dang, we could have did better, but So I mean, coming in, we. Seeing you always been a nice program. Like they been to the NCAA tournament. I don't even know how many times, man. I walk in just see all the banners, and I wouldn't say it's expected because like nothing ever like I'm saying can go the way it go. But just the belief I have in my team and my coaching staff, like everything. I just feel like we can always be better, and that is the competitive spirit I got. Like I don't care. Number one team in the nation, first team All American. I really don't care. Like I'm on the court, just how you on the court, and we're gonna go at it. And I think that's what like made me the player of the day for real, is just because that's probably the first like team I've been on where like I was like one of the key players. Like in high school, I was like not seen as like the key player on our team. And even though I was like average like 17, like, we had this one kid go with Division I, great player. I still my boy. Like, we grew up together, but just like never being that like type of person. Like I never was a leader. Even coming up, like I didn't even make my eighth grade middle school team. Like, yeah, like it's just really crazy. So then I just never thought basketball would have done like all the stuff that I've been doing now. Like in high school, I was like 5'7", like barely. And then once I hit a little growth spurt, man, I started dunking. Then I was like, oh, Mike can go from over there.
Might get scary.
Then, yeah, not till my senior year, man, where I really work, and it showed. And that's why I was averaging like 17-8, and then we had some Division I looks. Never fully went through, I mean, because of COVID and all that. So I didn't even get my state seat, my senior state championship game, man. The day of it got canceled. So now I'm a co-state champion. Like it's just even competitive side of me, like, nah, that ain't real, man. I fake it, but like, nah. But yeah, so like a couple of Division I that had interest was like, oh yeah, we're keeping our seniors, this, that. Like they get another year. So like, you know what I'm saying, why we bring this, you know what I'm saying, this kid from high school. And when I could keep my senior who just averaged 15 or 16, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, then I had a couple of divisions, 2 hours, but it was that. And then really, I committed to, y'all heard of Hampton City? I committed to Hampton City. Shit. I don't come from much. So my mom was like,
yeah,
I can't afford this, that. So that was like, they was giving me a lot of like financial aid and stuff because private schools get more funded, I'd say, than public schools. So then I was like, this is the right fit for me. I met like the coach and stuff like that. And
Kimbrough was recruiting you?
Mm-hmm. It was his assistant, Coach Grimes. So Kimbrough didn't really know too much of me. And that's what kind of threw me off, because I took my official and he was like, yeah, we got a couple recruits, a couple good players coming in. I don't know how much you'll play, this, that. So like you ain't trying to hear that. Like, coming as a recruit, you know, like, I was like, dang. I was like, he was honest. Like, I respect him. And I still respect him to this day. Like, we got a good relationship because we played each other like, every season.
Thanks.
But, so after that, I was like, in my head, I'm like, I ain't really feel like I felt like wanted or like, you know what I'm saying, that family feel. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, I decommitted. And then my friend Jamal, we grew up together. He's like a brother to me. He committed to CNU. He was like, because we had just came off playing high school together too. So it was like, I was like, dang, he was like, let's run it back. So they was already recruiting me. And then, man, Coach Ross, he is one of our coaches here. He's been there for like 30 plus years, I'd say. Man, he used to call my phone at 6 a.m. every morning. Dude, and they're pulling up to my school. I'm like, yo, like, all right, like, that's love. So like,
yeah,
I was like, dang, bro, he really like sticking it through the whole time. I didn't commit till late. Like late, he was still calling me, still talking to me, saying, yo, we could use you, this, that. And then I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. So I kind of surprised my mom. She didn't even know I decommitted, and then I committed to seeing you. I just surprised her with it. And she was mad at first. She was like, how am I going to pay for this? I'm like, we're going to figure it out. But I just knew that it would be something special there. And just the love they had for me there, I was like, I can do something here, I felt. So yeah, that's really crazy.
That's a fire story, bro. I can't. Yeah. Damn, Hampton City, bro. That's crazy. Yo, Coach Kimbrough. I know Coach Kimbrough is sick. He's like, damn, we could have had.
Man, that first game when we played them like when we finally got done with COVID my sophomore year. Man, I want to say I had like 18 and 15. Man, as a sophomore, I felt like I was that dude. I said, yeah, now I'm gonna come out here and go crazy. So I'm like 18 and 15. That thing is, though, I got a freaking negative record against them, but it's bad. I'm like, dang.
They beat y'all the first game of the year this year, right?
Yep, they beat us.
That was a good game, though.
Nah, it is. It's always a good game. And then they beat us this year and last year. And then the year before that, they beat us, too, in the regular season. But we went to their place and beat them in the second round of the tourney. That's the year we won the Natty. And I beat them my sophomore year. So down one game, but it's cool.
All the Hampton City guys is mad cool, bro. Ryan Clements, Davidson, bro. Adam Brazo, bro.
Clements my boy. And then, bro, and then it's in the, I want to say the, when went to Indiana for the All-Star game? AB, Brazo, he was my roommate. We close. That's my boy.
No, that's tough. We met RC at the D3 Combine last year. That's like my boy now. I'm sure Rudy's boy too. But then we talked to AB on the pod earlier this year. So all the guys. Rudy, real quick, John, you're not gonna notice, but I was getting recruited by Fisher too, and I was about to commit. And they were saying the same things, like, we don't know if you're going to play that much. Yeah. You know, freshman year, we played them. I gave them work, bro.
Bro, I know you felt like that man, bro.
Yeah, that's bro. And we lost, but, like, in the handshake lines, I'm walking with my head high.
Yeah, you could have been with y'all. But, hey, man, that's feeling the best, bro. Especially, like, being at somewhere where they believe in you, man. That's really what, like, makes and break players, I feel. Like you could be the greatest player, but if you don't got the confidence, man, like, and you don't got a good belief system behind you, bro, it could break you. Like, I've seen a lot of people mentally check out of basketball, like the game you loved all your life. You know what I'm saying? You just give it up. Like, it happens, bro. And for it's all about the situation too, where you at. And that's the thing I'm looking for too when I go overseas. Like, I'm not worried about going where the money at. I want to go where I can fit in and have longevity, and I could be myself at. And that's what I think is missing in today's game too, man. All these like NIL stuff, like, it takes out the authenticness of like authenticity of it. That's what it is. Authenticity of like of the game, man. So that's kind of like me. Everybody would love to go D1. I couldn't win D1 even after we won that. I was getting offers, man, and just me being on and being loyal, man, it's just and being authentic. I just felt like D3 was best for me. And if you're talented, you can go from anywhere, like Division I, Division II, NAIA. Like, you see all the time, like, some of these stories, dudes make it to the NBA from D3, like, from NAIA. It's just, if you're talented, they're going to find you.
No, that's tough, bro. Super, yeah, super authentic, too. And I like that you mentioned, like, the NIL stuff. I mean, I don't blame players for
I'm not hating at all Division I NAIA. I wish I could get a meal or something, man. You know what I'm saying? I would love it, but...
But people starting to see, like, people that going for the money and they end up not having, like, that great of a season. Mm-hmm. They starting to see, like, money don't pay for everything. That's a fact. But I want to skip ahead. Like, you mentioned playing with – wait, real quick, I want to spin back on something. I don't even know if, like, you are willing to talk about this, but, the year mad people were leaving the team and you were talking about how, like, people – breaking down mentally, like what was going on? I seen you, like, they just weren't happy with their role. Like, what was going on?
Man, I couldn't even tell you. It was surprising to me. It's just we won a natty. You know how it is. I mean, a lot of things like changed. A lot of players like won bigger roles and stuff like that. And it was a lot going on. And also, I wasn't a good leader that year at all. I was dealing with depression. And, like, I'm saying, I'm big on mental health now. And I was really going through a tough time that year. And that's why, like, if you look at my stats, from 15 sophomore year to 17 junior year, down to 15, because just like, and like all my stats are down, field goal percentage, everything, because I wasn't in the gym, I wasn't working on my game, and because of like what I was dealing with mentally. So I wasn't the leader I should have been, because I didn't have the energy or the headspace to be a leader. And if I won't do the things that I'm preaching about, I can't preach. You know what I'm saying? I can't preach, because who am I to do that if I'm not even doing the right things? And so it was really a tough time for me as well. So I would say I'll take part of blame of that. And other than that, just, I don't really know. It was just a lot going on, man. A lot of people headspace everywhere. Just, you never know, man. With college, being a student athlete,
it's hard.
It's always something, man. Yeah, like, it could have been school messing with their head, and then it could have been their belief or their love for the game just leaving. I don't really know too much what's going on, man. All I knew was the guys that stuck it out, man. And we got to that. Once we got over that hump, what I was dealing with, kind of got, like, it was over with. And then, like, I got my love back. I was in the gym every day. grinding, and that's when we got made that big playoff run. And a lot of young players and a lot of older players stepped up, and you know what I'm saying, took a lot of that weight off my shoulders. So I'm in debt to them for sure a lot.
Word. I remember like because I had just started talking like on the pod about Division III and stuff like mm-hmm. that, and you guys, I was hearing that like a lot of people on CNU quit the team. So when y'all got in the tournament, I was like, damn, it's probably gonna be tough for them. But y'all was still working. I was like, yo, that's really inspiring.
Like, bro, it was really crazy. Like somebody else stepped up every single game. Like for real. Like I would say Hobart or I'd say round one. But we had to go to Widener, and Widener had a crazy season that year. Like it was going crazy. And my boy played at Eastern, so he was like playing against them. So I'm like, oh yeah, nah, they tough. So I would watch them play them. I'm like, it's an eventful weekend. But we always believe, like I would say we always believe, especially my little brother. He was the main one in there yelling like, yo, we can do this. Cause not everybody believed, but once we had that talk, and in that first game, Hobart, our big man, he was a fifth year at the time. Like he like played like 5 minutes. Man, he came in that game. Probably I think we went for like almost 20, like double-double, like almost like 20 and 10. Got a couple bang outs. Like he really carried us that game. And then the next game at Widener, I say it was my turn, but I went got like 25 or something. And then next game, my little brother and our kid, but our fifth year, Ian Anderson, went crazy against Williams. And then we had Guilford. Guilford was just an all-around.
They were tough that year, yeah.
Yeah. And then just so happened that we lost all the buzzer beater. Yeah, I got a little – I'm salty with buzzer beaters, man, for real. It's crazy because how we won the natty is how we lost. Like, bro, my sophomore year, we lost by one. We had missed, like, the game-time free throw. Okay. So we lost by one. But then we win the natty.
Off the buzzer beater.
Yeah, and we lose the next year. Off of buzzer beater, so it's just like, and then now I just lost this year again off of buzzer beater. I'm like, bro, can I get a clean, like just a clean game? Like, nah, those are the moments, man, you live for, and like those are the best games, honestly. I'm not trying to see my 40. Like, I wouldn't mind it, but I mean, a win is a win, but hey.
Oh, dude, no, I feel that. You keep mentioning like your little brother, Colin Hines, he going into his senior year, and like when I was watching some of y'all games, I was like, "Yo, he's tough too." So just talk about like one playing with him, but also like, is he staying at CNU? What the future look like for him?
Mm-hmm. Man, I don't know if y'all got brothers, man, but like, and like it ain't just like, you know, you got older brother like 3-4 years apart, bro. We a year 10 months apart, so we kids growing up together. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, man, you know how it is starting out. We always fighting, always disagreeing like that. But once we got to that age, man, we'd been the closest ever. Like, it's just like, there's no, like, you make brotherhood like with your teammates. Like, they all your brothers still, but, like, ain't nothing like that flesh and blood. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we done been through all the stuff. Like, all the stuff I've been through, lost of our brothers and stuff like that. He was right there with me. And it didn't take us to get into college for us to really talk about stuff like that, because, like, we never had that like relationship, like, cause my older bro, we never really had a relationship either. So I was kind of learning stuff as we went. And honestly, once I got to college, like all three of us got closer. And my older bro teach me things, and I'm just passing it down to little bro. And then like that's what could build us, like our bond off the court made it on the court 10 times better. Mm-hmm. I knew if I miss a shot, I knew he gonna try the hardest to get the rebound. I know if he missed a shot, you gonna try a little harder, cause that's my little brother. I'm gonna get his back. You know what I'm saying? I might make a move, but I might see two people. But little bro, I'm definitely dropping it all to him. But we both competitive, and I'd say he probably one of the best defenders in Division III. I honestly don't even think he should be Division III. I feel like he's better than me. Mm. I just got more of a like that mentality, like I'm gonna take this last shot. It's not just the confidence. That's the only thing I think he likes the most, is confidence. But it's coming because he's seeing, he's been putting in the work. He played one other night, and then, like, you know what I'm saying, he see that they've been putting that work. He never really had to take the last shot because he's been playing with me, you know what I'm saying, for the past 2-3 years. So he ain't had to take the last shot. So I'm excited to see what he do this season, man. I definitely feel like he definitely be one of the top players in Division III. I mean, he's 6'5", taller than me, 6'5", bro. I can jump out the gym. Like, I'm talking, I just see the dunks I never even seen before, like 360 windmills and stuff. I'm like, bro, like where my bounce at? Like, I'd be like, dang, like, why I couldn't get that, man? But nah, he's truly special, and he's very competitive. So I feel like he's gonna have a great season this year. He definitely staying. He's gonna finish where he started at. So I can't wait to see. Can't wait to see the jump he gonna make from this year now, because they losing 20 points a game now. So if as a team, I'm saying they all gonna get at least two or three more points apiece. And I definitely feel like he's gonna be the key, that he gonna be the leader of that team. Just being the only senior. So I mean, he's gonna have a lot to do, but he put in the work. So I'm proud of him, and I definitely want to see what he's gonna do.
Who be winning the ones?
Come on,
let's be real. I ain't losing. Nah. He got me a couple times though, bro. It's hard. He know my moves. I know his moves. So bro, we be in there almost fist fighting, bro. Like you don't want to let your, especially he being a little brother, you're not trying to let your little brother win at anything.
No, bro. When your little brother beats you in ones, that's probably the worst feeling in the world.
You don't hear the end of it, bro. Like you would never hear the end of it, bro. I swear. And then when I do lose, he's like, he don't want to play back. I'm like, all right, bro. All right. But it's definitely back and forth. Like, I'm gonna give him respect. But it's definitely, he probably one of the main people who actually like really guard me, and I would say like from the division 3, like there was definitely a lot of good defenders, but just him knowing my moves and stuff like that is just way harder. That's what we like a newspaper, they was calling us like yin and yang, just because like in practice he always be guarding me, and just I'm like, now like he was starting and stuff, we was on the same team, but anytime we had to do like some like offense defense stuff, we'll try to like guard each other and stuff like that, just make each other better.
Word. That's special, bro. Shout out to C. Hines. He's going to have a good year next year. But stay with us while I take a quick break.
All right, we're back. Not even D2 podcast, Jay Hines. So, you know, we talked about your CNU career, bro. 104-19 record, if I'm not mistaken. National championship, multiple deep tournament runs. I want you to just talk about some of your favorite memories and, like, from your 123 games at CNU. I know probably the Natty is going to be up there, but just like any other outstanding memories that you may have that maybe the public wouldn't know about.
Let's see. Like, just want to keep it basketball, like basketball memory.
Whatever, bro. Whatever it's like, because you just graduated, bro. So you in a whole new phase of your life. So just thinking back about your time, like what made that those years special?
Man, I would say, I got a couple. Definitely my sophomore year, that trip to Canada we took. I ain't never been out of the country. Even though it's like, that's right there, but it's still out of the country. I ain't never been out of the country before in my life. Like, I just got a passport just for that. I didn't have a passport, none of that. So, man, that trip, we played about 3 games. And not even the games we played. Like, they honestly was so chill. Like we had like one practice. Like, they didn't care about wins and losses. It was more so about bonding. And we was in Montreal and Quebec City. And like the time we spent together as a team was crazy. And it was like honestly one of my favorite times, just because we got to let loose. And like, mind you, this is way before the season started. So we like practicing early, like getting to know each other early. And that's like low-key what helped us out that year too, getting to know each other early and all that. Cause we all, young, we had a younger team. So that was probably definitely one of my favorite memories. And then that year we ended up being Randolph Macon. That's when they won the Natty. We were like, they one loss, I think. They came to us and we beat them at home. And I got one, like, I would say like I put us up like 2 off of I ripped Buzz. Like, you know, Buzz is like one of the D3 GOATs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I was guarding him to half court. That was my assignment. Like, even being a sophomore and him being my assignment was like big. So I ended up ripping him. I went up by 2, got an N1. So it was, man, that was like, as a sophomore, like, bro, I'm like 19, 20. I'm like,
feeling on top of the world.
Carl going crazy. Like, that game was packed, bro. Cause you know, it used to be like a rival with like Macon and just both being from Virginia and being like, I was saying, one of the top 2 teams in Virginia. So that was like one of my key moments. And then, of course, Natty, you know what I'm saying? It was, bro, it was almost bad. Like, my name was almost tarnished because I threw two turnovers for them to come back, bro. We up by like, we was up four. I threw a lob pass, bro. Stole that jump. Boom, came out, scored. I hit it back to back, bro. Back to back. I'm like, what am I doing, like, bro?
Your confidence went down,
bro. What? Oh no, bro. I would have never, bro. I probably would have stopped playing basketball, bro. We winning. I'm about to sell the natty game. Like, I had this unbelievable season. Then I come here doing good. Boom. Then throw two turnovers. They tie the game. And boom, we got the ball. Boom. My boy Trey made the layup. I said, bro, I just started tearing. I said, bro, you just saved my whole career. We won the natty, but, bro, you saved my career. Like, bro. I was like, what is going on, bro? Like, I'm like, did I just sell my team? Like, I'm like, dang, but Natty for sure. It's just, I mean, that's the biggest, like, goal, like in one individual, like, in any division.
Yes.
So, and like, it's crazy because, like, I told this news channel, like, I got the clip and everything. I told this news channel that, like, I only one of the first ones to, like, win a Natty at the school the year prior, and even earlier that year. And we ended up doing this. I'm like, dang, like, this is really crazy. Then I say, lastly, probably my favorites was probably, let's see, probably this. No, we went to California to play UC Santa Cruz that year. We went to Natty, and I ain't never been to Cali. I ain't never been on the West Coast, so that was fun. Like we got like a stay there extra day, and we had a good time. I mean, it wasn't too much going on because like. It wasn't too much after the COVID and everything. No, that was a sophomore, my bad. That was my sophomore year.
Bro, I had a question. So we talked to Henry Vedder, who won the national championship with Trinity mm-hmm. last year, and we asked him, like, you know, how the celebration was after. Mm-hmm. And he kind of gave us a little bit of an insight, you know what I mean? But you know, you graduated now, so you know you're not past the college. So can you talk about just that that celebration? If any, if you guys did anything special.
Yes, after the game, it was like Coach came in, we dumped water on him, everything. We was in the locker room going crazy. Like, I'm surprised they didn't charge us for, like, all the wet and, like, everything just be on the ground. Like, it was crazy. But after the fact, we definitely stayed there that night, man. And I was over 21, so me personally, me and the guys that were 21, we ended up, like, it was like a pub or something down the street. Like, nobody in there, like, nobody but us. Man, we just going crazy. Like we had a lot of like families in there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just having a great time, man. You know, just doing that. And then when we got back, definitely had a little more fun too. A little too much fun, man. Bookie forgot school. I'm like, whoa. Like, man. a few assignments that was kind of due. I was like, my professor emailing me. I'm like, oh, all right, I gotta shake me. I was like, y'all spare me, man. We, you know what I'm saying, just wanted that. Give me a couple of days to, man. Definitely took like a week for me to get back in that school mode. Cause I felt like we was done. Like, I felt like I was done. I'm like, all right, I'm good. What we doing?
And, nah, that's funny as hell, bro.
The rest is definitely was on us. They even. I was like, all right. I was like, at first I'm like, come on, bro. But I'm like, and then they looking out like you still a student first. So
yeah,
you know what I'm saying so.
No, that's
glad tough. That none of us that next year was ineligible, but I know for like a week straight, none of us was doing our work. So,
I'm weak. I want to. There might be some correlation too about foreign trips, bro. Because y'all did it, won the Natty, and then NYU went to China this past summer, and then they made a run all the way to the Natty this year. So. Schools might need to give the athletic departments a little more bread.
Nah, for sure, man. Like, it does. Like, that was like the year before we went to Natty, but like a lot of our players were still on that Natty team from that trip. And honestly, it gives you a chance, like, to bond with the team because it's not just basketball or like, because first of all, you're not even in school, so it's like, it depends on whenever your team take the trip. But as far as the school had, like, just started, so like, it wasn't like really school was in. But like, it really gives you opportunity to like just bond. Like, you're in another country, like, so they might not be speaking English. Like, in a certain place in Canada, like, they were just speaking French. So like, we just like talking to each other more than we is. You know what I'm saying, getting around with the people and stuff like that. And then also, you just like, you're looking out for each other, man, when you're over there. So, and like, I don't know, our coaches, they made it do like, we did like a scavenger hunt one time, like around, like we had to walk around like the city, like to find certain things, take a picture of it, and like racing and stuff like that, like how to get people to say certain things in like a video, just like little stuff like that. I think foreign trips are definitely like can help. You like, especially like some people have never been these places, you're experiencing it with your brothers, like who you might be with for the next 4 years. So, I mean, it's just special, and it definitely gives you a little upper hand because y'all already met before the season started. Because with Division III, you can't even practice. Like, you get
– nah, yeah, that's
– probably this past year, they finally gave us, like, six practices or something. But before then, you couldn't be in that gym until, like, freaking – like, October. Like, October. Like, I'm yeah. like, bro, you didn't have your first practice. Then you see all these other divisions. They in the gym in the summer, like, working out. And that's why, like, a lot of times D3 is hard because, like, when it comes to skill set and all that, like, you're on your own, like – I mean, you can, because once the season started, like, y'all got games coming. Like, by the time you practice, y'all got games in, like, 3 weeks.
So not you, facts.
And, like, the plays y'all trying to put in, whatever. So that skill stuff, you really got to do on your own. And, like, it's just, like, you got to really want it individually. Like, it ain't nothing. Hand, like, Division I, you don't come to the workout, like they gonna, like, they gonna make sure you're there, like, or you're done. Like, Division III, you don't show up to certain, like, and then you definitely, you can't let it happen to you, but, like, I mean, you can get benched or anything like that, but, like, as far as like scholarship and all that, they can't take nothing from you. Like what they gonna do? Like, you are I'm already paying to go here. So I was like,
no, thanks.
That's one thing about D3, you really gotta want it.
Nah, for real, bro. We scrimmage a Division I team every year, mm-hmm. St. Bonaventure, and I always found it mad interesting. Like, we start October 15th, and then I think it's a week and a half after that date we play them. It's like, bro, they got every single set they're going to be running the whole year already down pat. We just got 2-3 sets in. Yeah. We're about to go play a mid-major D1 school. But, nah, it really, like, provides you that dog being a D3 athlete. So that's special. But the coast-to-coast, I want to talk about it a little bit because, like, it's not the strongest conference. Y'all only got six teams in it right now. But, like, there's still good teams, good players. Jordan Oates from Salisbury, he mm-hmm. nice. Mary Washington made the tournament this past year. But you also, like, dominated. You got the most points in conference history. Yeah. So just talk about, like, your favorite matchups playing and coast-to-coast, not, like, beef or anything, but, like, who'd you get ready for? Like, I'm about to go against him today.
I'd say I'm definitely for Salisbury this year. It was Oates. He was definitely in the lead to get like player of the year and all that. And I would say Mary Wash is always like a good game. It's a lot of history between us. Just because, I mean, I don't know if y'all know, but Trey Barber, who won the game for us and Natty, he played at Mary Wash. Like, he transferred us from Mary Wash. Mm. I know how, like, you transfer teams from in conference is tough because, like, you play them about 3-4 times. So, I mean, playing them was, like, what I, like, for conference-wise, what I look forward to. Even, like, playing UC Santa Cruz, I feel like they was, like, a really good team that, like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like they should have been better than their record. I feel like they were better than their record. But I always have respect for them. They were huge. Like, you got a 6'9", 6'10", big man. All your guards are 6'5". I just thought, like, they were really, like, a good team. It was always hard for me against them because their length. And I was like a 6'6 dude with max, like, wingspan, like, guarding me, like, chasing me around. But, yeah, so I would say I didn't really look forward to playing them because, you know what I'm saying, it was always tough for me. But I like the challenge, so just being a competitor, like, I always try to really, really not even really go at them. But, yeah, I didn't like playing at Salisbury, man. I could not shoot for nothing in that gym my whole 4 or 5 years until I would say this year. I did really good at that gym, but I could not shoot at that gym. From, I don't know if it was the lighting. I don't know what it was, but nah, yeah. It's, man, the coast, bro, it had just got in that conference, like, when we started playing, when I first started playing there. So it was new to me, but I thought it was cool to get a Cali trip in. Even though that was far, bro, that flight is crazy. But it's also, like, it's cool. Like, I don't know. It wasn't too crazy. But a lot of schools were near, so I was like always have friends on each team. Like, had one of my guys play with Salisbury, who I knew growing up. Just stuff like that. And I say another player, I would say that Mary Watch had. They had the KJ Randall. He was a sophomore, but he was going crazy in the tournament, and I got mad respect for his game. And that was like a couple. It was a young team that that really like stepped up, and they beat us in the conference championship. They played their tail like they played a great game. Like, I couldn't even be mad. Like, put all around great game. And y'all seen it, like they didn't just beat us. They won. They made it to, I want to say, the Swiss team or the Elite Eight. Like, that's just straight belief and dog right there. And they big man was like 6'4". Like, and they beating all these teams like who had great seasons. So, and they low key almost got Emory. So I mean, it was.
They had a good look at the end too.
They almost got them, but
they almost shocked the country.
Nah, facts, but it's my respect to them.
Word, real quick, we don't gotta talk too much about it, but how does the like preparation? Because you guys play them like, since there's only six teams, you play them within a week apart.
Bro, and it's always because you know comments gonna come at the end, so we playing them back to back. It's really easy. Like, I would say those are the easiest things to like, as far as film and prep wise, because we know them. Like, we know everybody. Like,
hey, I just got done playing them.
But yeah, so, and it makes it even harder. Like, so they might think you know what you're gonna do next just because of how y'all played. But I mean, they're gonna make adjustments, stuff like that. But I would say, man, those are probably one of the easier, like, practice type of fields, but playing it a little harder because, you know what I'm saying, they know what you're doing now and stuff like that. But as far as prep, I mean, you can only like prep so much for a team you played already 2-3 times.
Facts.
As long as you just keep, like, we scout like really good, so as long as you know the scout and stuff like that, then like, yeah, just let the game come how it come. They make adjustments, and that's one thing I think we really good as a team was making adjustments on and just Coach taking. Facts.
This is gonna be our last question before we get into rapid fire. But what's next for John Hines? Because you just had a great year, way to cap off your career. But you told us like you signed with an agency, you try and play overseas, you're working out. So one, real quick, like, what are you working on? And two, like, what's next for you?
So I'm working on, like, I'm trying to change it to more of like a point. You know what I'm saying, more of a point score at the same time. Just because, like, I know with my size, it could be a little advantage for me, bringing the ball up, just seeing everything, like, decision-making I have. So, but I've been working on just more handles, like, more dribbling with bringing the ball up with pressure on me, and definitely the three ball. I mean, like, I was a shoot three ball, but I do, like, I don't have no regrets, but I low-key wish I would have shot it more. It made the game so much easier. Like, I didn't start shooting too many threes till this past year, and, like, you can see my averages going up. Hitting 2-3 threes a game, that's, like, it's more points. So instead of me averaging, like, what I was my junior year, 17, it would have been, like, 23. And that's looking where I was getting that towards the end of the year just because I started shooting the three ball more. So just having confidence with that, like, that's all I've been doing. Like, my trainer, he a really good three-point shooting trainer, and just getting shots up off the dribble more. So I can always create space, but now I'm just, like, working on creating more space and working with the pick and roll, stuff like that. Because, you know, overseas, man, it's pick and roll. You mean, like, NBA pick and roll this. So, I'm saying, just working to make good decisions off the pick and roll and just staying consistent with the three ball. And then what's next, man? I'm saying we got to stay tuned, man. But for sure, whenever that announcement comes, I'll even come back on the pod and make that announcement, man.
Heard you. We need that.
I got you. Hey, it's definitely gonna be something special, man. But yeah, I got a few workouts coming up. You know what I'm saying, I'm going to Vegas during around like assembly time. We got a pro day. ASC always do a pro day where we play in front of all these different coaches, meet a lot of people. So we're gonna see. Just know something special in the works. Trust.
I heard you.
Nah, bro. We kind of talked about it before the episode started, but I seen that your agency got a couple of Division One, you know, I see Gerald Green on here right now. I'm looking at it right now. So a couple different NBA guys. You must be excited, bro.
Yeah, man, I didn't shook a lot of hands. I never thought I would have shook before, for real. They show a lot of love, bro. My ANC, like, for real, is really a family feel, and that's what really drew me to them. Because, like I said, I didn't grow up with two big families, so like, once I'm in that family feel environment, man, I don't do anything like for that person. So, and like, they show love. I mean, they came down. We went to the PIT. I don't know if y'all know the Portsmouth Invitational. Yep. It was like 20 minutes away. So we all, they came down. We went there, watched a couple games, got to hang out. Got to meet some people. You know what I'm saying? I don't, a lot of people, like, I be hearing the stories about they don't talk to the agents for like a month. Like, the agent has to hit them up. Is that like, bro, I talk to my agent every week. Like, it's like everything. Like, and we have mutuals as well. Like my trainer, like, he been doing them for a long time. So it's like, they know I'm working because I'm being in the gym with him. So, but they always hit me up, like, they just, like, first they just tell me congratulations on graduating, stuff like that. Like, bro, my trainer wants one of my jerseys. Like, it's that love. Like, it's really love with them, man, for real.
That word. I mean, like you said, some Division III players don't get that, bro. So that's definitely fire. And wishing the best in your next journey, bro. But we got some rapid fire for you right now. You ready, my boy?
I hope so. Let's go.
All right. So first rapid fire question. So I seen on your bio that you love the MCU, like you like Avengers.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. So I got to hear top three favorite MCU movies.
All right. So, you know, a lot of people go with the Avengers, bro. But my dad, I'm saying, he put me on. I'm going to go Wolverine, top one. Just, bro, his movie is one of my favorites. X-Men Origin Wolverine, that's one of my favorites. Of course, Spider-Man, one of the GOATs. Like, I just like, because he's a kid, like, you know what I'm saying? I just like his growth story. And then lastly, dang, bro, it's so many, bro. Like, I'll just say, as far as like watching wise, I say Black Panther. Rest in peace.
That's tough.
That's a great one. So, have you seen the newest one, Thunderbolts, bro? Have you seen the newest Marvel
movie? Bro, I haven't, bro. I really haven't. I've been out of tune lately, bro, because on some of the stuff they've been doing, I agree with, bro. Because growing up, bro, my dad had the comic books, bro. So I was onto the comics at first. So it's like some of the stuff that, like, I don't really agree. But me, I'm still gonna tell him just because the love I have for her. But honestly, been crazy busy too. So yeah. Dallas has to deal with a lot of that.
Bro, when you get some time this summer, go tune into Thunderbolts. It's
soft. It was good.
Bro, I was on the same. I was on the same page. Like, I've seen Marvel decline, bro. But as of late, the Falcon and Winter Soldier movie was alright, but Thunderbolts was good, bro.
I'm gonna check it out. Then we'll check it out.
Bet. Next rapid fire question. So we got, I seen that you like Chris Brown and Lil Durk.
Oh yeah. Right?
So if you, let's say you had like a career highlight mix, right?
Mm-hmm.
What song would you pick from like each of those artists, like be like on the highlight mix?
Let's go on.
That's a great question. Hey, I feel like, all right. So, dang, bro.
You could look at it if you want.
Yeah.
Oh, no, this is my boys. I'm gonna go out the dump. Lil Durk. I can go no auto. Oh my god, I don't know. But see, Breezy, it depends. If I'm going for a smooth mixtape, you know what I'm saying? What's going right now in my head is off the dome. It could be either like wall to wall or like, yo, just on some light skin, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? slow-mo laying buzzer, bro. But be up ahead, probably, but definitely that Lil Durk take no auto. That would be crazy because it'll be a crazy mix, just how the beat go and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's a great question though.
Have you ever been to like one of their concerts or not?
I seen Chris Brown twice. I seen Lil Durk once. Those are my boys. And you like drinking there? That's top three for me.
Yo, the photos of the like the fan. Like the girls paying for like the photos to take pictures with Chris Brown.
Hey, dude. Nah, bro. You said, would I do that?
No.
That's my boy. Hey, if I did do it though, I wouldn't even take a picture. I would just give him like, I got a brand. I would give him one of my shirts.
Mm.
I think he'll mess with him. Him being from Virginia, he definitely got to show some love.
Well, I didn't know he's from Virginia. That's fire. Yeah. Word. So the last rapid fire question I got for you, bro. So 5 years playing at CNU, who are some of your favorite matchups? I know KJ asked you like in the conference, but who are some of your favorite matchups like over your career in terms of player wise?
Nah, don't do that one. Don't do that one. Because I got starting five asking best players in his career.
All right, just give me one. Give me one then. Give me one.
All right, just off the rip. This low key. I don't know if y'all know him. So his name is Connor. I want to say Connor Delaney. He was at John Hopkins, first team All American, bro. And we played him before I played Buzz, and like that's one of my like welcome, like, you know what I'm saying, to Division III moments, bro. I had like 30. I said, oh my god, like, who is he? Like, I'm hearing about him like during the game. Like, all right, bro, like, it's whatever, like, you know what I'm saying. But bro gave us work. We still won though, but that was like one of the top players I've seen like coming in as a young bull.
That's tough. Well, I already spoiled it, but so we're gonna move to the starting five edition. If you're a coach, assemble on the lineup, point guard through center. Who's your lineup going to be in this edition? Going to be the best players that you played against throughout your career. So just tell me where they played at and what position they play in your lineup.
All right, so the one definitely I go Buzz. Playing my sophomore year, I'm saying he it's crazy because like as far as like stats, like it don't show like how good of a player he is, but he literally was the heart of the offense. He made everything happen. On that two, I gotta go with Vinny D'Angelo from sophomore. We played them in the Final Four. Bro almost hit the buzzer beater to go in overtime and everything, bro. Like, but he was going crazy, and he's a really good player. And at three, I think Lucas Ozzy played at Marietta. My summer year, they beat us in the Elite Eight. I want to say bro probably maybe almost 40. But he's had a day, like, coming off the screen, N13, like, I'm like, bro, what is going on? Like, and then I would say at the four, so last year, not this past year, but the year before that, Dominic Dunn, he played at, he was playing with Widener. Bro was going crazy. He was, I want to say, second, third team. I can't remember. But he's definitely a problem for us. And now he coaches at Randolph Macon. And so he was on the bench when we played him this year. It was cool to see. And at the five, I got to go T.C. Thacker from Lynchburg. Most of them I played my sophomore year, just because I swear, bro, being younger, you just seeing, like, these top players, you're just like, whoa, like, I did not think D3, like I'm saying, I didn't know what to expect. And seeing all these great players, I'm like, dang, I got a lot of work to do. And seeing them is really what made me to the player I am today.
Nah, that's tough, bro. Shout out to all the guys. That's a good lineup, too. But that's going to do it for another episode of Not Even D2. We appreciate you getting on the show, bro. You got a bright future ahead of you, and keep going, fam.
I appreciate y'all, man, for real. And good luck, whatever y'all, I'm saying, what y'all got next for y'all.
Appreciate you, my boy.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Not Even D2.
Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter. That's the best way to support the channel.
And all episodes released on iHeartRadio, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's going to do it. And we'll see you next week on Thursday.
Yo, bro, that was a fire episode.
OD.